but fill me up, God. I know that if I come to you, I don't need anything else. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. I need a drink. I need a drink. And some of you may be in here wondering. Some of you may be in here thinking, Pastor, I don't know what that is. My mind is driving me crazy. My mind is playing tricks on me. My kids are doing stuff they shouldn't be doing. My job is talking about letting me go. Pastor, what is this drink that you speak of? This drink is Jesus. This drink is Jesus. And I want everybody on their feet right now. I want everybody on their feet right now. And all I'm going to do is I'm just going to pray. I'm going to pray for you all. I'm going to pray that God will fill you up. But is there anybody in this place? I'm not going to make you walk down. I'm not going to do it. Is there anybody in this place that just needs to be refilled today? Anybody in this place that needs to be refilled today? And all this is good and gravy and all this is amazing and we're getting refilled. But what about the person who doesn't know him? Because all of this is for naught if you don't have him. There could be somebody in this place today that maybe you don't know about this wine that we speak of. Yeah, maybe you don't know about this Jesus that we speak of. Maybe you've never encountered him today. Can I see your hand if that's you? If you've never accepted Jesus Christ in your life, if you've never, ever accepted this, if this is something that you're saying, Pastor, what you're preaching is what I need. If I spoke to you today and you need Jesus today, can I see your hands in this place? Can I see your hand? I see you. I see you. I see you. Can I see your hand? Lift them up. Lift them up high. Don't be afraid. Don't be nervous. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, if you have never taken a sip of this wine that we are talking about, can I see your hand today? Can I see your hand? I see you. And I want you to know that God loves you and that God died for you and that he's coming back to get you. Amen. So can we do this? Can we all say this prayer together? Can you repeat after me and say, Jesus Christ. Even if you've been saved 30 years and this is your first time, say, Jesus Christ, come into my life. Save me right now. I'm a sinner, but I want to be right. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose for me. And I believe that you're coming again. Empty me of myself. Fill me up with your Holy Ghost. Help me to walk the right way. And never let me go in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, family, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to welcome you to the kingdom of God. And I want to let you know that God loves you, that there's nothing the enemy could ever do to take you out of the hands of God. And that you are forever sealed and a part of this kingdom. Amen.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in his word that in 2 Timothy, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season word.
If you know he's been good to you, you know he's worthy of it. Give him the glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Grab a hand next to you. Glory to God. Let's be saints of God today. And let's encourage and pray with and for our brothers and sisters. There is such a heaviness in this room. And you don't mean any harm, you're just heavy. You got a lot on your plate, a lot on your mind, a lot on your heart. And this is the day that we can benefit each other as the children of God, as we seek to pray with and for one another. Don't think about yourself. Know that somebody's praying for you. I want you to pray for that brother or sister whose hand you're holding. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray now that you'll give strength. That you'll give strength. Heal my brother, heal my sister. Encourage my brother, encourage my sister, dear Lord. My brother, my sister is going through a difficulty, a struggle, a storm. And they haven't told anybody, but Father, we know you know all about it. Help them, dear Lord. As I squeeze their hand now, Father, I squeeze it with a sense of empowerment and encouragement. Will you refill them now? Will you put them on a path to healing? Allow them to feel your embrace. Feel your comfort. They're broken. They're grieving. And Father, you're a God of comfort. You're a God of strength. You're a God of mercy. You're a God of grace. Lord, help my brother, help my sister today. Whatever they stand in need of, dear Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will meet that need. This is still a day you made, dear Lord. And give my brother and sister the capacity to rejoice and find a way to be glad in it. And Father, my brother, my sister, whose hand I'm holding, has a divine purpose. There's a calling, there's a purpose, there's a plan you have for their life. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against any assignment that's meant to hinder or hurt the plan and purpose you have for my brother or sister. So as I squeeze that hand once again, I squeeze the power of the Holy Spirit into the heart and the mind and spirit of my brother or sister. No weapon formed against him or her will be able to prosper. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint as they wait on you. Give them the strength, God, to walk with their head up, trusting you to meet every need. By your power, by your might, will you lift my brother or sister today? Give them a testimony in advance for what you're getting ready to do for them. Thank you now for the healing. Thank you now for the strength. Thank you now for the breakthrough. Thank you now for the deliverance. Thank you now for the provision. Thank you now for the open doors. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, help them today. Help my brother. Help my sister. Hold on to your unchanging hand. Help my brother. Help my sister today, dear Lord, to trust you even when they can't trace you. To know that you're always at work. You're always moving. You're always working for our good. And so, Father, give us the strength today to take the bad along with the good, knowing that all things work together for the good of them who love you, who are called according to your purpose. Thank you, Lord, that you allowed us to pray for one another today. Give my brother and sister the ability to love again and to be loved again. We come against that wall, that chain, that shackle that needs to be broken. That my brother and sister may embrace what you have in store. It's been a tough season. It's been a difficult journey. but nothing is a surprise to you. And Father, I'm squeezing that hand once again. I'm asking you, God, to encourage, to show them something. Let them experience something. Let them encounter something that nobody but you can get the glory. It is your will that we come to you. It is your will that we live. It is your will that we live whole and holy and healthy. It is your will that we prosper. Yes, Lord God. Protect us, dear Lord, from the enemy, from negative reports, negative posts, negative rumors, mess and misery, gossip, backbiting, malice and hate. Yes, Lord God. Deliver us, oh God, that our minds can't be poisoned, that our hearts won't be poisoned, yes, Lord, by the mess. Let us hear your message that you're still on the throne, that the grave is empty, the cross is vacant, that Jesus lives. He's at the right hand of you, interceding for us. And because he get up, get my brother up. Because he got up, get my sister up. Because he got up, get our praise up, get our joy up, our victory back, our peace back. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We receive it. We want it. We appreciate it. We're grateful for it. And the people of God said amen. Now come on, love your brother or sister. Love that hand. Tell them I love you. Tell them to be encouraged. Tell them to hang on in there. Tell them this too shall pass. Hallelujah. Come on, praise the Lord in this place. If you receive that prayer, praise the Lord in this place. You can do it. You can do it. Give him glory. Say thank you. I receive it. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thankful now. To the this is somebody's testimony or somebody's getting ready to be testimony. You brought me out. You brought me out. Can you see the sunshine? Oh, you brought me out. Hallelujah. Keep walking. You brought. Keep trusting. Keep serving. Me out. I just want to thank you. Now one thing we all can do, we can praise his holy name. I praise your name. I praise your name. Thank you, Father. I praise your name. Yeah, I just want to thank you, Lord. Come on, one more time from your spirit. Thank you, Lord. Kings. God bless you today on this second Sunday morning in the month of May. We praise God for this day. Happy Mother's Day once again to all of you ladies and those who stand in the gap for mothers. We praise God for you, for your nurture, your care, your love. We thank God for you. Amen. To all of our ministers, our leaders, to all of you, my father's children, those of you all online, we thank you for your presence today as well. We thank God for this day. And listen, I know you don't see it, don't feel it now, but it's going to be all right. Matter of fact, it's already all right. Amen. Storms don't last forever. Even when you can't see it because of the clouds, the sun is always shining. That's good news on a Sunday morning. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. Amen. God bless you today. Be encouraged, be encouraged, be encouraged, be encouraged, be encouraged. 2 Kings, chapter number 4. We want to commence reading at verse number 1 and a few of the following. 2 Kings, chapter number 4. The word of God reads thusly. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid have not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And then he said, Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. And so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And the church says she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. I think you read that too fast, so let me go back to verse number 6, because the man of God told her, go and find some vessels and use that oil and pour out. And verse 6 said, and it came to pass. I'm going to try that one more time. Man of God gave her a direction. She take the directive, and the Bible says in verse number 6, and it came to pass when the vessels were full. Somebody should be shouting already. When the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. I'm going to try that one more time. And the oil stayed. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. The grass withers, the flowers fade thereof, but word of our God shall stand forever. On your way to your seat, help me preach, because it's going to be hard for me today, so y'all help me preach. And look to a neighbor to your left or right and say to him, neighbor, it's so good to see you. You made two good decisions. Coming to church and sitting next to me. God's word for us today, it's in your house. That was the wrong neighbor. Look to the other neighbor and say to him, neighbor, mother neighbor got mad, but I'm going to give you a shot. God's word to us today, it's in your house. Come on, give God praise. We want to tell us on today. It's in your house. Glory to God. Time of our text, Israel is living in a state of apostasy. Apostasy meaning many have made a turn from God, turn from God's will, turn from God's way. Matter of fact, many started to worship other gods. And yet God still reigns on the throne. And God still sends people, his people, to share his word, to speak truth to power, to live victorious in a losing situation. That just because the deck is stacked against you does not mean you're going to lose with the hand you have. When God is your God, you can never fail. And God showed this, that even in apostate Israel, that God still showed up and showed out in people's lives in a season and a situation where you would not think he would. God does not deliver them, and God will not deliver us from the realities and the difficulties that come with this world. That every now and then, because you and I are saved, does not mean we won't have storms, does not mean we won't have troubles, does not mean we won't have some issues. But God is so much of a God that God has a way of bringing you out, bringing you through. If God doesn't keep you from it, God has a way of bringing you through it and will keep you in the midst of it. And so today we've got to understand that just because we're living in this world, your testimony, your challenge today is not to live like the world. Just because we live and got to go to work with ungodly people does not mean we've got to become ungodly. Just because the world and the culture has turned from God does not mean that we have to turn from God. And God's word for you today is stop worrying about other people's houses. Stop worrying about other people's situation, because you have what you need already in your house. If you would just take care of what you have, if you just appreciate what you got going on, if you just appreciate you got four walls and a roof over your head and clothes on your back, and food on the table. Somebody today can testify, I may not have filet mignon, but I have bologna. And the bologna does the same thing that filet mignon does. Somebody can testify today, I may not have Yves Saint Laurent, but I might have Faded Glory. But Faded Glory covers my back just like Yves Saint Laurent. I don't have to try to impress anybody anymore. I'm not trying to make any people like my status or my post. I'm just thanking God that he saved me, he spared me. I got a house, and I'm going to take care of what God has has blessed me with. What you're looking for, you're already looking at. If you would just take a moment and do some inventory of how good God has already been, how God has already opened doors, how God has already made a way, how God has already healed you, has already saved you. Has not God healed you before? So why would he not heal you again? Why would God bring you through all he's brought you through and leave you now? But your testimony today is, don't let this new storm make you use a new provider. The same different storm, same Jesus. I don't need a new savior for a new situation. Am I talking to myself today? Do I have anybody else in Zion with me? I don't care what comes. I don't care who comes. I don't care who goes. I'm going to thank God because what he's got is in my house. And I praise him today that he's in my house. His love is in my house. His joy is in my house. His peace is in my house. His presence is in my house. And where the Lord, Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I always wondered, and I thank God today. Thank you, Mama, for teaching me at 8, 9 years old. Because here it was, because what you see on TV, because you saw commercials, can we go to McDonald's? And my mother preached to me, and I didn't know she was preaching to me prophetically. Because my mother always answered me, you got McDonald's at home. Everything you think you need, you already have it in your house. I think, y'all, if we would stop trying to impress people and stop trying to keep up with people, you would have a whole lot more peace in your life. Somebody today done went broke trying to impress people who ain't gonna like you anyway. Some of us done went crazy, lost our mind, trying to be like somebody and look like somebody who I don't mean no harm, ain't studying you. You might well gonna find out who God called you to be, what God wants you to have, and thank him for what he's given you and make the best of what you got. And sometimes, some of us today, we're sad for no reason. We're upset for no reason. You're not mad. Now, today, God's word to us today is going to talk to us about how God will meet your need. I know that wasn't going to encourage you, but all I can do is give you the word of God and go on about my business. But God's word today will show you that his grace and mercy is enough to meet and overmeet your every need. Now, what I got to deal with if I'm going to be a responsible pastor, can I be responsible for a second? God is not going to take care of your greed. He is not on the line to satisfy our greed, but he did promise you he's going to meet every need. So the question you got to ask before you get mad at God and mad at your life, is it need or is it greed? Do I just have to have that? Do I just have to go there? Do I just have to do that, or am I trying to keep up with the Joneses? Our text today, God takes us to this narrative in the midst, once again, told you that Israel is apostate. It is turned from God, yet there are some people who are still faithful to God, and God will even show up. Now, text says that Elisha is the prophet in office, so to speak, today. He has now received a double portion of the anointing from his father in the ministry, Elijah. He's already had a contest with kings in chapter number 2. And the kings didn't want to hear him. Kings of Samaria and Israel and Moab, they didn't want to hear him. But he still spoke truth to power. He's not just a God who will have people speak truth to power, but he also wants to show that I care about my sons and my daughters. But now, there's a miracle-working power in Elisha. Elisha has a double portion of what Elijah had. He's got a double portion. He doubled what Elijah was able to do. Matter of fact, many commentators consider Elisha somewhat of an Old Testament picture of the coming Jesus Christ because of the miracle-working power that Elisha possessed, that he was able to do amazing things. Matter of fact, now, let me put this in the gumbo while I'm mixing up the roux. Let me go and tell you this real quick. Be careful about, read your Bible, read chapter 2 when you get time. Be careful about making fun of God's people. Be careful about not acknowledging God's folk. Because the Bible taught us in chapter number 2 that a bunch of little boys, young men, started making fun of Elijah. Elisha was a bald-headed man, and these young men started making fun of him. Look at the bald-head preacher. Look at the bald-head preacher. And the Bible says that he said that he didn't have to bother him. He didn't have to do nothing to him. That a bear. That's why I preach. some she-bears showed up and told them jokers up, killed about 42, 52 of those young men who want to make fun of. When God is moving, you might well get out the way or get on board. We move now into chapter 4 because a woman approaches him because it's something going on in her house. And I want to help us today because we got to stop putting on the false faces on Sunday morning. Because some of us, most of us, many of us are coming to the house of God with some stuff in our own house. And you bring that mess to God's house because you ain't addressed it in your own house. There's some issues in your own house that you did not address, and you bring it to God's house, and if you're not careful, you'll bring it here and keep it here and leave it there. So this woman, at least, she hears that Elisha is passing by. And she comes to him with what we call, number one, a directed plea. That because something is in your, it's in your house today, but it starts with some things we've got to deal with and address, and it begins with a directed plea. A directed means it was going in a certain direction. It was not you telling the wrong people your business. Oh, man. Okay, at least, somebody say at least. At least this woman went to Elisha. She, watch this, y'all. Here's your shout, even though you ain't gonna say nothing. Here's your shout. That even though she's in a predicament, because the text teaches us that she's a widow, which means that her husband died, and she's got two boys. And women did not earn income in the days of 2 Kings. So you had to live and depend on what your husband provided. She's not just a widow, she's a mother. And she's got two sons. She's broke, she's bereaved, and she's a mama who's got two young men she's trying to raise and take care of, but her husband has died. Can I add this in? That the husband was a preacher. He was a preacher. He was one of the sons of the prophets who had studied under Elijah and who was studying under Elisha. You mean tell me that even trouble can come to a preacher's house? You mean trouble can come to anybody's house? I'm going to try that one more time. This preacher's wife, the preacher died and left the wife because there wasn't no burial policy in 2 Kings. Wasn't no insurance. Wasn't no Union National and Global Life. Wasn't no VA. Wasn't no AARP. It was just take care of your family. And when the man dies, you left out there. And she's got two sons. And the two sons ain't working yet. And the Bible says that according to law, that if you can't pay debt, because the bills kept coming. And the bills keep coming even though somebody died. Watch this, y'all. You got to keep on living, don't you? Even when life happens to you, you can't stop living. You got to keep on living because the bills don't stop. And the bills kept coming to her house. Watch this. The bills didn't stop. The debt kept getting higher. And according to law, if you don't pay your debt, you and your children must now become slaves to the system until you can pay off your debt. She was afraid of that because she knows what can happen if she loses her sons. If she loses her son, she might lose them forever. So she says, I want to keep my house intact. I've got to go to God so he can save my household situation. I'm going to wait till you get in your street, maybe. I got trouble in my home, but I understand that nobody but the Lord can fix my situation. Do you see something, y'all? She didn't go try to find a new prophet. She didn't go try to find a new husband yet. She didn't go try to find no other kind of job. She said, Lord, you know I was going to get to this point, and I know that if you knew I was going to get to it, I know you're going to bring me through it. Is there anybody in Zion today who's been hit by some unexpected stuff, but you made a decision in your life, no matter what happens in my life, I won't turn from God. I'm going to keep running to God. Yeah. I like this, y'all, because this sister did not turn from God when she was mad at God. She didn't understand what God allowed. She didn't understand why God took my husband, why God did me like that, why God let this happen to me. Do you see? She didn't run away from God. That teaches me something. I don't know about y'all. That just when God seems odd, don't mean I don't still need to trust him. Be careful. Tell your neighbor. Remember y'all held a hand a while ago? Look at him again. And say, neighbor, be careful about pouting with God. My Lord. I better not bother this. Because some of us have come to God's house today. Nope. I'm sick of getting in trouble. I'm sick of y'all looking at me stupid. But I want the Lord to be happy with me. Some of y'all don't come here today with this little sneaky attitude with the Lord. You here, but you ain't here. Your heart ain't here. Your mind ain't here. You pouting on purpose. Got your mouth stuck out, looking like life over with, like somebody done shot you up in the side of the head, and you are not praising God on purpose. This woman said, I'm still going to go to Elisha. And she makes a directed plea. She said, look here, sir, prophet, man of God, I need your help. Because my husband, your servant, he was a good man. He served God for real, and he dead. Y'all missed it. He served God for real. He loved, he was dedicated to the school, the prophets. He was dedicated to the church, but he dead. And I need some help for my house because I got these two boys, and I got me, and I need some help. Y'all missed it. Y'all so deep. See, if you would stop telling Facebook your business and go to God with your business, by the time God get through handling your business, you ain't got to go to Facebook with none of your business. Who was that for right there? It ain't Facebook business that you got that going on. It ain't Facebook business that somebody broke your heart. If you just go to God and God will help you with it, by the time Facebook find out, you done moved on 2 weeks ago. It's a directed plea. She goes to the man of God. A directed plea. Let me hear it because y'all ain't in the mood. It's a directed plea. Sir, my house is messed up. My house got some problems. Can I ask you a question? Be nosy, I'm your pastor. It's my job. Anybody in this room got some stuff going on in their house? Every eye ain't dotted. Okay, I'm going to try this side. Anybody on this side got some stuff in your house you know ain't God's best, ain't even your best, and things ain't perfect? There's some fools up in there. There's some stuff going up in there that ain't right. Let me come to the middle. Anybody in the middle don't mind admitting in church on Sunday morning that everything in your house ain't perfect? You got some hiccups and mistakes and some problems and some circumstances. All right, I'm going to come back to y'all. Anybody on this side don't mind admitting on a Sunday morning, on Mother's Day, in looking good in your Sunday's best, but sometimes you live like Monday's worst? Everything in your house ain't perfect. All right, now all y'all raise your hand. Let me ask you a question. When or if have you told God about it? One of the difficult things about us, we tell everybody but the Lord. She said, sir, because some people, y'all, this woman went to a man she know could give her some help. She didn't go to him for a listening ear. Oh, Lord. Because see, some of this stuff we be telling folk is just to get it out. You don't really want it to change. You just want to tell somebody. Oh, I don't care about y'all looking at me like that. You just want to tell folk. You don't even want it to change. You don't want that dude to change. You just want to tell somebody how you getting on your nerve. You know them children bad, and you ain't finna raise them, you ain't finna discipline them. But you just want somebody to know how they getting on your nerve. You ain't finna do nothing different. Well, this prophet says to her, he says, what do you want me to do? What you need me to do for your sister? And then he asks her a question. What's in your house? Now, she already told him what's in her house. A dead husband, two grown sons, and struggles, grief, difficulty, and debt. I got more month than I do money. I'm in debt, and the people is coming for my children. I'm about to lose my sons because I can't keep a dollar. And you have no to ask me, man of God, what's in my house? Because the problem is, the woman, which many of us do from time to time, you'll start looking at what you don't have.
and don't look at what you do have in the house. Be careful about looking at your life through the lens of what's not going well. Instead of taking time out of your day, Lord, thank you for what I do have. Because everything I have is enough to help me get to this point that I am today. Can anybody just take about 10 seconds and say, Lord, thank you for what I do have? I don't have everything, but I do have something. Now, if you will let some of us tell it, you don't even have a house. Talking to some of us, it makes me wonder, how are you even living? Because nobody, they never have nothing positive to say. Big Mom used to do this, my great-great-grandmother. How you doing, baby? Oh, I'm doing good now, but I almost left y'all last night. Whatever it was that you thought was going to kill you last night didn't kill you. And you go keep that all the way to this morning and then tell us later on in the day about what could have got you last night, but here you are a whole nother day. Be careful about the lens by which you look at your life. Because if all you want to see is negative, that's all you ever see. And it'll cause you to be ungrateful. And it'll cause you to be unfaithful when you don't thank God for what you do have. Stop comparing what you see somebody else doing or what you see somebody else have and say, Lord, thank you that you're giving me the capacity to manage what you've given me. The woman doesn't even think about oil because she's talking about what she doesn't have. I don't have my mane. I don't have no money. Okay, I can't talk like that. My mane gone, and I ain't got no money. I ain't thinking about the ministry. I'm going to try again. I thought I was talking to real people. This woman lost her mane. And according to her testimony, he was a good man. Because he said he was good to God, which means he was good to us. And he gone. Now I need somebody to help me. Kind of lost my mane, and I ain't got no money. And if I tell the real truth to us today, y'all ain't going to admit it. That's where one of those two areas or both at the same time is where many of y'all hung up right now. Somebody done left you or some money done left you. Now you learn how to live with one, but you can't live without both. I do all right if he leave me, long as he leave me some. Okay, I'll leave y'all on there. Okay, cuz, I heard you. Make your own money. I hear you. We're going to get there in just a minute. Make your own money. Every church got them. Make your own money. You don't need no man. Hold on. If you just let me get there, I'm going to get there. Listen, she makes a directed plea, which now, though, has to come a detailed process. A detailed process. You got to understand today that you and I have to go through processes with the Lord and with ourselves. It's a detailed process, which means that if he gives you details, it's up to us to follow the details. He says, what's in your house? She says, nothing but a pot of oil. I ain't got nothing in my house but a little pot of oil. That's what she told the preacher. Isn't it Bible? Isn't it text? All she told the preacher was, I ain't got nothing in there but this little pot of oil. I guess she must have thought he was going to ask her to cook something. You know, so don't ask me nothing because I ain't got nothing. All I got at home is just a little pot of oil. Now, what you got at home is not about quantity. It's about quality. Because in her house is oil. Missed it. In her house is something that can be used for cooking, but then it can be used for blessing. Because it's olive oil, anointed oil. And no matter how big the pot is, she got some in the house. Anybody got something in your house that's blessed? It may not be something that's bigger than anybody else, but you got something in your house that you can pass by, something that you can look at in your house and say, Lord, nobody but you put that in my house. It may be a Bible. It may be a memory. It may be something that somebody blessed you with, but it's in your house and it's yours. But she says, ain't in my house, but pot of oil. Now, he says, I tell you what you do. Here come the details. He says, go home. Lord, I could spend time right there. Because part of our issue is you can't fix a house you ain't go to. You can't fix your home if you're never there. Take some attention to your house and stay out of other folks'. They say they always over there. They say he always over. They say she don't never come home. They say them children ain't never home. They say, how you know what's in somebody else's house and yours don't be at home? Because you're not maintaining your house. He tell her, go home. You got some oil at home? He said, okay, cool, that's what I want. He said, here comes a detailed process. Go home and borrow some vessels. Because you said you ain't got nothing but a pot. So go home and borrow some vessels. Now, can I unpack this real quick? Because I think y'all gonna lose me. I'm gonna lose. How many of y'all love me right now? Ain't enough hands up. Wait a minute, let me try this again. How many of y'all love me right now? Y'all all right with me right now? All right, cool. Man, I'm finna say what you mean. It took y'all so long. All right. So now, you might not feel like this in just a minute. So I just want to check on it now. Go home. But your private issue got to be a little bit public now. Because you got to go and share and depend on somebody else to help you. Okay. He says, go and borrow from your neighbors, the people who live around you. Go and ask them to borrow some vessels. Now, ask them for the vessel without giving them details. That means with your arrogant, pompous, closed off self, in order for your home to be better, you've got to ask for some help for your situation. Because if you could fix it by yourself, you already would have by now. Yeah, y'all mad. I told you gonna get mad. Go, the text said that now, ain't me. The Bible says he told her, go. Get the vessel. Go borrow some. You know, if you go borrow some, that means you got to go ask them. But you the preacher's wife with two good sons. And right now, nobody know I'm in debt. If I go ask them, people go, no, I got everything in my house ain't perfect. It's going to make my husband look bad like he ain't leave us with nothing. It's going to make me look bad like I can't take care of my children. So I can't just go and borrow nothing. I'll just make do without. You came to God and said you needed help for your house. Do you want your debt paid or you want to keep being prideful? And by now, it makes no sense to keep showing up in church and being in a child of God and you never open up and ask somebody else to borrow a vessel. Can you help me for a minute? Can you just have a moment of your time? Can you help pray for me? Can you help pray for my child? I saw your child got graduated college and mine struggling in high school. Can you help me understand, what did you do to help your child? What did you do to keep your marriage intact? What did you do to keep yourself together? Stop being so closed-mouthed. Because you don't want nobody to know you got problems in the house. Well, better your house be revived than repoed. Because you don't want to ask for some help. You can't fix this by yourself. Because maybe you had to go through this so you learn how to be a good neighbor. Because you ain't been talking to your neighborhood. And God said, I'm going to humble you and have you talk to folk you've been bypassing. I told y'all y'all going to go let me know at this point. I told you. So I prepared you for it, so I ain't tripping.
You come to the house of God, heavy, wounded, beat down, but you all right.
And got people around you in your vicinity with empty vessels waiting to give them to you. But you're too prideful to ask. Elisha didn't say, I'm going to have some folk bring some empty vessels to you. Not for this miracle. So the question is, how desperate are you for your own deliverance? I know y'all mad at me right now because y'all keep trying to get these silent blessings. You want God to just do everything for you, in you, and you ain't got to talk to nobody because you want everybody to think that your situation was prettier. Part of what's going to make your situation ugly is you being able to open up. And by now, some of the stuff we done gone through, we shouldn't be so arrogant. Yeah, I went to the doctor, so what? Yeah, we went to court, so what? Yeah, my kid got in-house. So did. Stop pretending and your house on the line. Your family on the line, and you trying to pretend for people who need the same God you need. Now, nobody told you to post all them vacation pictures. Nobody told you to do that trying to brag. But then when you come back home, that's why so many people stay gone. Because they don't like what's at the house. They want you to see their mobile life, not their stationary life. Every week y'all gone, something ain't right at the house. Come, you see, that's the difference between a house and a home. And I testify to you today, ain't no place like home. You stay gone because you don't want to deal with the stuff at the house. Ah. You say, go home. Go borrow some vessels. And bring those vessels back home. Then close the door. And you and your sons, you all handle this rest part of the process behind closed doors. The whole thing ain't public. Some of it's got to be. Now, has God been good to you in your own personal life? Because you have been a direct beneficiary of the grace of God. That's why God wants you to do it, so that you can understand how to praise him for it, because you yourself are a direct beneficiary of the grace and mercy and the power of God. That's why it's not acceptable. God done healed you and raised you and blessed you to come up in his house and be looking around. That's not acceptable because you are a direct beneficiary of the hand of God at work in your life. Other folk done prayed for you. Other folk done prayed with you. And more people shouting for you than you shouting for yourself. I done made up my mind. I ain't gonna let nobody else outshout God for me. Am I right about it? So look what she does. Watch this. I'm gonna bless you with this one. He says, you and your sons, go behind those, shut the door. Do what? Shut the door. One more time. Do what? Shut the door. After you get the borrowed vessels. Because these people who you're borrowing from are not God. They're just a part of the process. Don't ever let people make you feel like you owe them something when God the one doing the work in your life. I thank God the Lord said go get some vessels. Don't get one vessel. Because if you let one person get that vessel, they'll think they the one. He said go borrow as many as you can get. As many as you can get, go borrow. You and your sons, shut the door. I got two things to tell you. One might shout you, one go muted. One just might shout you after you really consider it for a minute. Elisha does not tell the woman. Oh, let me tell you this too. Aren't you glad that the woman ain't got a name? Ain't you glad about that? that no, just call, you ain't got to be a somebody for the Lord to come in your house. I thought I shall thank you, Lord, that I ain't got to be a somebody. I ain't got to be Reverend Doctor. I ain't got to be Bishop. I ain't got to be President. I ain't got to be. I can just be your child who come to you and say, you are coming to my house. Anybody else besides me happy today? I ain't got to worry about fronting for God, because God will come in my house just for me by myself. All right, that ain't what I want to tell you. That ain't what I want to tell you. Here's what, sit down, Donna. I ain't fooling with you no more today. Cutting off my sermon a while ago with all that. That women's lib stuff. I'm trying to mess up my sermon. Loose here, Satan. Who's trying to stand up and help me now? Nope. Here's what I want to tell y'all. He tells her, go borrow vessels, as many as you can get. I'm going to come back. Go borrow vessels, as many as you can get. Y'all kind of. Go borrow some vessels. As many as you can get. Y'all hollering. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Y'all just hollering because they ain't say nothing. I'm going to holler at least. Make it look like I got it. Let me get everybody in now. Go borrow many vessels as you can get. Elisha doesn't tell her how many. How many she going to borrow is up to her. Okay, come here. Your ability is not based on the oil. It's on your ability to go get vessels. Come on. Your faith ain't tied into the oil, because the oil already there. But you go cut yourself off if you don't go by faith and do what God told you to do. So it serves reason if I only go get one vessel that's easy, that's all I'm going to get. But if I just keep trusting and go get as much as I can get, that's more oil I have for my house. That's why he says faith without works. Oh, I'm teaching this thing, but y'all saying amen. It ain't based on the oil. It's based on the vessels you go get. Can I ask you something? Have you put a lid on God by your laziness? Have you put a lid on God by your pride? I ain't finna go be putting myself out there like that. Baby, go get as many vessels as you can get. The man of God said, go get as many as you can get. And make sure they're empty, because don't be putting oil over mess. That's right. That's good. Get that mess out them vessels. Because I want to put something in there. That means you got to get the other stuff out. And it's all up to you how many you go get. And it's by your faith to say, I know God got something for me, so I'm going to get vessels out of expectation. I'm going to go get empty vessels, knowing sooner or later they're about to be filled. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. But by the time the ark was built, and the rain came, and the flood came, it's too late to be trying to get it one built now. So when God tells you to do something, do it then, not because you see it, but because God said it. And because God said it, I don't need to see it. Because when God said it, I see it by faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. How many vessels did you have you going to get? I want my children to get A's. Do you take them to tutoring? You know you don't know. And you know they don't know. So where the ego come from? Now you got a neighbor who got a mathematics degree. Got a church member who graduated cum laude. You graduated thank you laude.